Hey there, welcome back to the After the Sermon podcast, a series where we sit down and talk through the section of scripture that we studied this past Sunday and just get a little deeper into some of the illustrations and applications and just maybe some details that we weren't able to present on Sunday morning. So I am Pastor Ben here with Pastor Matt.
Hey guys.
And we are in the Armor of God series, finally getting to the pieces of armor.
Yeah. Finally starting to get into the wardrobe a little bit.
Yeah. We won't talk about my wardrobe shelf that has all my costume pieces, which I do have a full set of the Armor of God.
Do you?
I do. It's not really. It's like from Dollar General, and it's sized for a five-year-old.
So it's fake armor? Yeah. Just like our enemy would want us to do. Fake armor.
Yeah. The belt doesn't have any loops, so that's how it's not a belt of truth.
Is it like this weird plastic belt?
It has the like clippy thing, yeah. The like snake. I always thought of it as like a snake mouth.
Oh, yeah. That would have, yeah. It's very similar to what the Roman Empire, one of the wealthiest empires ever, used. So they were the first to discover plastic. I just made that up.
But, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so speaking that was not truth then?
Yeah. Speaking of falsities. Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, we get introduced to this first part of the armor, the belt of truth. But even at the beginning of that verse, we see something interesting that Paul is reiterating.
Yeah. Stand therefore. For the third time in two verses, Paul is telling us what we need to do. And this is the whole emphasis of the text. It's to stand and to stand firm, to not be knocked down, but obviously, we stand in the strength of the Lord. So how we stand firm, what I find interesting is that stand is the command. How we stand is by putting on the armor of God. And so if we're going to stand, we have to put on the armor of God. So that reminder of stand therefore, it's not in your own strength, it's in the Lord's strength. It's against a strong enemy, but an enemy that's defeated. And it's with the whole armor of God, not just one piece of the armor of God. So even as we, and I reiterated this on Sunday, even as we go through individually these pieces of the armor, you're going to hear me say every week, it's all or nothing. You just don't put on the belt of truth. You put on the whole armor of God. You don't just put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's the whole armor. And so that's that reminder, because our enemy knows, if they can just go out with just the belt on, if I could trick them into thinking that, that's how he would work. That's the temptation there. So that stand therefore is just, let's go back to what was said in 10, 11, 12, and 13 before we get into these individual pieces, and let's prepare for battle.
So the important question we asked, just being able to understand what this is, what is truth?
So this is a question that's been going on for centuries, millennia even. That's why I love that story that I opened up with. Pilate, a very powerful man, asked the question, what is truth? And I believe it's recorded in the book of John, because John talks about truth and he mentions exactly what truth is. And he says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so that definite article showing that Jesus is true, everything else is false in the sense of the religious aspects and ways to the Father and how you can have salvation, that only Jesus is true. So when we have to define truth, we understand we don't define it. God defines it, because God is true. And he is the divine, holy being who embodies what truth is. So in our search for truth, in our pursuit of truth, if we're doing so with a genuine heart, it will always lead us to Jesus. I fully believe that. Even if you're pursuing the truth in science or the truth in mathematics and the truth of just these different studies in the world, it's going to lead you back to the Creator, to the God of this universe. Romans 1 tells us that all of this creation was given to display the glory of God, but we have suppressed that truth. And so we have to start with what's truth? Truth is the person of Jesus as proclaimed in the scriptures. It's not based on tradition. It's not based on our philosophical construct of who Jesus is. It is the person of Jesus as proclaimed in the true and inspired word of God.
We're not adapting, Jesus had some good teaching, so let me try and align them, some of my choices because I think it's good.
Yeah, and to say that Jesus is true means that he's all true. There's no faults in him. And so saying that in general is going to take pushback, because the question is, how do you determine what is true? And you could just keep going back and forth. And that's why I think this, even the statement of there is no absolute truth is an absolute truth. I mean, in the simplest, by faith, we believe Jesus is true. All other ground is sinking sand. Like everything else falls apart. And so, yes, 2 + 2 = 4. And that is true. But what I believe scripture teaches is that all truth finds itself in the one true God. And so the God who created the numerical system, the God who created the science, the world, all of it, it's those truths point to the truth of who Jesus is.
Well, even Colossians 1, he holds the universe together.
Yeah. He waters the animals in the field. Like, this is for some people who think in a certain way, and they have to get logically to the, maybe they're at more inclined to ask more whys, like instead of what is truth, but why is Jesus truth? So that's, you just have to some extent, there's some faith there, but this is what we believe. And he's always proven himself to be true. What his word says is true. And I believe that, we believe that wholeheartedly.
And that then practically plays out in today, like what the things that we face, it's so easy to get tripped up in the falsities that I believed for a second that the Romans made plastic.
Yeah, see?
Like it's so easy.
How, it's a fascinating day and age to live in, especially with artificial intelligence. I can ask ChatGPT a question and it'll give me an answer and I'm going to believe it. So that's what's interesting to me is that I want to know what's true, but there's not a search to see if that is truly true. And then I don't know. There's all sorts of conspiracy theories. There's all sorts of everything's feels crazy is the right word. And then you have good people that believe one thing and then another person believes another thing. And I'm like, I don't know if either one of them are true. And so there's this skepticism that if we're not careful as Christians, we're not people of truth. We're people that maybe are more cautious to believe what is true because there's the God of this world is the father of lies. And so we have to be aware of that. And that's why the armor of God starts with you've got to gird up, you've got to fasten this belt of truth on. Or if you let your robe hang too far, you're going to get tripped up. You're going to fall flat on your face and you're going to be no use in the battle.
So how can we, as we're considering this idea, how is it that we prepare ourselves with the belt of truth?
Yeah, I think it's recognizing that you have to know what is true first. It's the old, if you study a counterfeit $100 bill, you don't study the counterfeit, you don't study the false one, you study the real one. And so I think part of the enemy's tactics is to get our eyes off the real thing, put it on the fake, the counterfeit. And so if we're going to know what is true and we know that truth is a person, then we got to get into the scriptures and know Jesus and to know him and the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings and what it means to follow him and to live in the truth of scriptures. 1 John 1:6, I mean, it's practice the truth. If you're lying and there's no good in you, then you don't practice the truth. And so it has to begin there with, I need to know the truth of Jesus and who he is and what he has said and his promises deeply. Because if I don't, then as Ephesians 4 tells us, you'll be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And we know this as pastors. I mentioned a little bit of this on Sunday. Man, there are some crazy, whacked out Christian ideas out there. Things that I'm hearing that I shared one with you recently that is vulgar and
it's such a distortion of what the scripture is.
Yeah.
Saying.
And like, there, it's a twisting of scripture. And so like, we're having conversations about, it's so bad, I don't even want to mention it on here, of if this is what's being thrown out in Christian circles, those, I'm doing air quotes, and our people are hearing this, then we have to prepare them for the truth. There's this whole idea that Jesus' love wins, everybody will be saved, that hell's not really real, that a God of grace and mercy and love will never let anybody suffer. And so everybody gets to go to heaven. And as much as I would long for that to be true, it's not what scripture teaches. And so we have to be strong and stand firm in truth, or we're going to get blown around by every wind of doctrine. And the devil uses that. Devil takes something with a just sounds just good enough, and we latch on, and it ruins us. So that's one way, knowing scripture, but then putting, knowing what is true through Jesus and scripture, and putting it into practice, and then to speak the truth in love. We don't just, we can.
To say that we speak the truth in love implies there's a way to speak the truth without love.
Yeah.
And we don't want to weaponize truth.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. We don't. Yeah. There's, you can say what needs to be said in a way that's seasoned with salt. It's a spoonful of sugar will make the medicine go down. We know this, but how quickly, I see it online, I hear it in conversations, how quick, yeah, what you spoke is truth, but now I want to punch you. So there's no reason to be a jerk about it. And that, and to me, it discredits the truth. Like, you don't, I mean, it's frustrating to me. And yeah, I'm having to have hard conversations all the time. This is what's true. And then to approach it with grace and kindness, and then being called, you don't like conflict. No, but I'm going to deal with it. But there's a way to deal with it biblically. Conflict doesn't have to mean I'm
chopping your ear off.
Chopping your ear off, right? Like, the belt is not a weapon. The truth is not a weapon. The Spirit, used properly, pierces and divides and defends. And so we have to be careful. So speaking the truth in love, and then thinking on what is true and what is good. And so I think that's just some practical ways of, this is how we fasten it on in a day and age that we're going to get to a point where we have no idea what's, in fact, is this podcast real? Or did we have AI produce it for us and it's just really our voices?
Maybe we just live in a simulation.
Correct.
Unplug, you know, the pod from the back of your brain, you're going to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's way down the YouTube rabbit hole right there. Way down it. This is the real Pastor Matt. I can't confirm if it's Pastor Ben or not.
And there, as we're looking at this, realizing this is all spiritual warfare, and if we're going to think on the truth, if we're going to meditate on those things, there's so much of spiritual warfare is a mental battle.
Yep.
And it's being able to combat not just the things that we're consuming, the things that are being thrown at us, but even just those internal things. I think some people get caught up in, I had this thought, and so it must be true.
Yeah.
And not realizing.
Yeah.
That's your battlefield right there. You have to know the truth and compare it to, I think it's also 1 John, test the spirits.
Yeah. And what Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And so there's this, we talked about the identity of putting on the whole armor of God. It's an identity thing. This is who we are in Christ. And how often the enemy just whispers, you're not really important. This thing's too big for you. You're worthless. These are lies of the devil. I'm of the opinion that the devil never speaks the truth.
If he's even when he uses scripture with Jesus.
Yeah, he's twisting it. But Jesus knew the scriptures enough to know that this is not true. This is what it truly says. And so Jesus models for us what it means to stand on truth by knowing who he is, knowing what is said in the scripture, and by practically living it out. And that's why I love that passage in Isaiah 11. Jesus has already put on the belt of truth. He's modeled for us what this looks like. Even they crucified him for it. So yeah, you speak the truth, it doesn't mean you're going to have a lot of friends. Even if you speak kindly and graciously and in love. Because if we're speaking the truth, then we're speaking Jesus. And if they crucify Jesus, Jesus says, then they'll do the same to you.
Any other last thoughts as we wrap up and prepare for the next piece of armor?
Yeah, I think I touched on a little bit, and we'll touch on a little bit now. But I think there's in our desire for people to believe the truth and our efforts to defend the truth, we put the emphasis on our defense or our debate as what will transform their lives to see the truth. But remember, lost people don't believe the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals that to them. And so you can speak the truth of Jesus over and over again, but your words do not carry the power to change their life. And so pray for the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom to speak the truth in love, but to also that they will have ears to hear. As Jesus said over and over again, Jesus spoke the truth all the time to people. I read a quote that I thought was really good preparing for Easter, that Judas heard every one of Jesus' sermons. Now, obviously, I don't know if that's true or not, but in theory, he's that close to Jesus. He heard the truth and he suppressed it. And so I think it's just with caution how people need the truth and we have to stand firm on it. And yes, there's things that are going to be pushback, but we also have to understand that it's Jesus who sets people free through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not us. It's not our arguments. Yeah, you should be able to defend the truth. You should be able to give a reason for what you believe. But I don't think there's a call to go around debating. I think it's a proclamation of who Jesus is. Because if I can, one of the things I struggle with watching some things, I can convince someone that that transgenderism is wrong. And I can give them a host of reasons, even from scripture. And they could say, okay, you're right. And yet they could still go to hell because they have not believed in the truth. And so in our efforts to proclaim truth, it always has to go back to the truth. This is what I'm trying to get this train of thought back to. And even teaching our kids what is true and what is not true. As they live in a world that's promoting everything that's not.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to, you can't proclaim the truth if you're not looking at the truth and knowing what it is and who it is.
Yeah.
In this case. All right. We will look forward to seeing you in life groups this week. Just knowing that we're getting ready for that season to close out for a little bit, but we'll get through the rest of the armor. And just really looking forward to the continuation of this study and the, I don't know about your group, but we've started just trying to say all the verses together before we do this. And then half the people do it in King James still. And we don't judge them.
It's okay. Yeah.
But just keep meditating through that. Reach out if you need anything from us, as always. And whether we see you in life groups or next Sunday or in a couple weeks, things going on, just know that we are always here for you and we love you. And we'll keep fighting that battle together. God bless.